What's up, guys? Welcome to Stack and Smash Radio.
This is going to be our fastest intro ever, Jesse, because I am literally about to starve to death, and yes. I need to get Taco Bell. Free plug for Taco Bell.
Free plug for tacos. We talk poker on this episode of Stack and Smash. We haven't done it in a while.
But it's still hilarious.
The name Stack and Smash is all about poker. So, I mean, we should probably talk poker sometimes. So if you're a poker fan, listen. If you're not a poker fan, listen.
Still fucking listen to because it. Because we told you to, you fucking douchebag.
Jesus Christ, Rob. Just went off the rails. Anyways, but no, if you are a casual poker player, listen. We have a lot of pretty good poker advice. I am not that great at poker, but I think I'm pretty good. So I have some things that are kind of intelligent that says, and Rob says more intelligent things. So listen closely about poker. This episode of Stack of Smash Radio is brought to you by Jack DeBoss Brewing Company. Instagram.com/JackDeBoss. That's spelled JACTABOSS. A brand new, super shiny Facebook page is up for Jack DeBoss. Facebook.com/JackDeBoss. Go like the page, share it with your friends, check out pictures of the beer. The artwork is phenomenal. Whoever draws it is a fucking genius. So good at drawing. Anyways.
I wonder who that is.
That's me.
Oh, okay.
And now it's time for Stack and Smash Radio.
Macy's sales clerk checking out my pack. Not part of the Jody Foster fan club anymore that I created.
Hey, that's me and
Smash. I just have a very hard time expressing my emotions, and I can't stop from yelling.
I remember back when we first started Stack and Smash Radio, it was going to be about poker and EDM. What's it supposed to be?
Yeah.
It was basically like poker and like DJing life.
Yeah.
Neither of which we ever talked
about.
Yeah,
we never talked about any of that. We were two categories that just don't mix together, theoretically.
Not
at the same time, yeah. Anyways. You can't really just be like, all right, electronic dance music, poker, go!
Yeah, you never hire a DJ for your poker tournament.
Yeah. I mean, if you did, that'd be terrible. You don't hire like an actual DJ. You hire like a host for a poker tournament.
Like an MC.
Yeah, exactly. So like...
That'd be terrible too.
No, they have those.
Well, no, I mean that, like one that's like a play-by-play. Well, I mean, I guess they have that too, but like walking
around
with a microphone.
It's for charity ones mostly. Yeah, like Phil Hellmuth does it a lot. Like he does like these big choker.
Poker.
Charity poker tournaments where he walks around and just kind of has a microphone and, you know... It's a good time for all the people that are there that are spending the money on
it. I was thinking more of like a really corny radio DJ, like a, yeah, this man just folded aces. How does that make you feel? That's a therapist MC.
That'd be the
How
worst.
Did that make you feel? How did folding those poker
I always find
feel?
Poker interviews to be hilarious,
They're
though.
Painful. Like, They're, it's just like...
Like, because, like, I get it. Like, you're trying to...
They're trying to make it like it's a sport.
Right, but... Even sports interviews are awful because they're always going to say the same thing.
Yeah,
same. So a poker interview, like, what do you expect the guy to say? Well, what's next for you? Well, I'm probably going to play another tournament.
Probably going to try to pull some money.
I'm probably going to fucking try to make more money. What do you think I'm trying to do?
Well, it's my job. So if I stop doing this, I won't have any money.
I mean, no one's going to ever come out and just be like, well, now that I just played the World Series and I made some money, I'm just going to go breastfeed kids in Cambodia for 3 months.
Yeah, well, now I have the money to... Open up a circus.
Yeah.
So, like, time to start my circus.
This isn't shit people are going to say.
Yeah.
Although it'd be great.
I'm going to buy a lot of antiques and open up an antique shop.
Great.
And that's a thriving business.
I'm going to go buy a large amount of land and just dig.
Dinosaurs had to be here at some point. So.
Yeah. So, like, these are all things that should happen at poker tournaments, but...
That's just those are the answers you never get, and that's why, like, I can watch a little bit of poker from time to time if I like the poker player on TV, but most of it I'm watching and I'm not very impressed with the poker play. I don't see much of a difference between that and playing down at Foxwoods or something like that.
Well, here's the problem. Here's the absolute problem with most of poker shows. First of all, you're already seeing the hold cards, which I hate. The best year they ever did the World Series, that year we were watching like 3 or 4 years ago,
yep.
Where they showed every hand and they didn't show you the hold cards until the hand was over.
That's how they should do it.
Do you remember that?
That built anticipation. It was like, what do they have? How are they playing this?
Right.
And it's like you didn't see like, Oh, he's chasing. Oh, he hit that again. Oh, yeah. This guy sucks at poker. Because a lot of times, it's not about I'm chasing. It's yeah. about I'm making this person believe that I have something
exactly.
that I don't have. And that's a huge part of poker. And as you become a better poker player, in my opinion, you'd know more about this than I would, but I've learned most of what I know off of what you've told me to do, is it comes down to a lot of, you know, obviously knowing when to fold, but then it also comes down to playing your position and playing the player that you're playing against.
Exactly.
And it's very little to do with your cards.
And the problem is what they show on TV is mostly, oh, there's an all-in and a call, and they see the board run out. It's like, okay, well,
yeah.
that's not what I need to do.
Yeah, if I want to see that, I'll go watch blackjack.
Yeah, like that's just...
It's a coin flip.
That's like
playing war.
I'm trying to think of a good sports analogy. It's like seeing just...
A shootout at the end of a hockey game.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's
kind
like,
of.
You know, it's just, it's the final
it's,
thing
okay,
you can
see. You know what it's like? It's like turning on boxing at the very end of a match when they're about to raise a hand and say,
right,
split decision, here's who it goes down to.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's the perfect analogy for it. And it's like, okay, well, I didn't see how it got to this point. Like, I didn't see how he accumulated his chips. I didn't see the 3,000 hands before that.
It's just they're going for...
I mean, it's time.
They have to. It's TV.
It's
timed.
TV.
Yep.
It's
they
time.
Have to go for excitement. So they have to go for what is going to make everyone in the room go, oh.
Right.
What's going to go, ooh. What's going to make somebody get up and throw their hat or push their chips across the table.
Right.
Or do something crazy. You know, what's going to create any kind of excitement.
Right.
And that's why, like, a lot of these, not to go off topic, but, like, reality shows are painful to watch because you see them just starting drama just to make the show interesting.
Or editing time. Like,
yeah,
this happened. Like, this is what happened. And this happened. Like, actually, this happened 3 days before this.
Yeah, exactly.
You know
what
I mean?
Like, I can't find my Netflix clicker that I have for my smart TV at home. So I've been stuck on Discovery Channel because I was watching Shark Week last week. So when I turn on my TV in my office, it's just still Discovery Channel. And they have this, like, Frozen Mountain Men show, something. It's not a good one. And it's just such forced drama. Like, for instance, they're doing stuff that really shouldn't be on TV. Like, it's not really interesting. Not that it's illegal. It's just not an interesting thing. Like, the last episode, they had to load a barrel into a rowboat and then try to not capsize the rowboat. And it's like,
great.
Why is it on TV? And they're like, oh, if we, and then it started snowing and shit. And they're like, oh, if we don't get over there today, then this job is pretty much done for. We might as well throw this whole day of work away. It's like, okay. Anyways, they load it into the boat, and there's three of them in the boat, and there's the barrel in the middle. And they're, like, moving the boat along. It has a motor on it, little motorboat, whatever. And the guy that's doing the motor was obviously just trying to stir up some drama, and he's just yelling at the dude in the front of the boat. He's like, if you don't keep your weight centered, this boat is going to capsize. He's like, stop moving. And nobody was moving. They're all just in the boat. The boat's not even rocking. Nothing bad is, and it's just, the boat's just going along, and this guy's just yelling in the back of the boat. And you could tell it's just one of those situations where it's like, well, we have to make this interesting.
Yeah.
And that's where it comes back to poker. It's like, well, we're not going to show you all those hands that make poker players good poker players. We're just going to show you the coin flip.
Right.
Because that's the good TV.
And that was the great thing about Poker After Dark when NBC was playing that. They showed you every hand. Like, it was usually six-handed. It was a tournament that lasted for the week. But you saw every hand. So if you saw somebody raise on the button and then everybody fold, I mean, is it interesting?
Mm-hmm.
No, but you see what they're doing. I mean, you still saw their hole cards, but you saw why they were doing it. I just love the year that they played the World Series on TV. Nobody saw any hold cards until the end of the hand, and it was great.
That's how they should do it, but this is coming from you,
from
a professional poker player, from me, an amateur poker player. It's coming from
people
who understand, that we actually understand poker.
Right.
You know, to an extent, and we are, when I watch poker, I'm trying to pick up on what people are doing. I'm trying to be a better poker player by watching poker. Other people are watching it for entertainment.
Right.
That's
gotcha.
A big difference.
So, and that comes down to everything where you're trying to capture the casual fan because you know your diehards are already going to be there.
Right.
Right? So, like, that's the big problem. Like, just a real quick wrestling reference. Wrestling, the biggest problem is the diehards complain about a lot of stuff, but the WWE won't care about that because We have the diehard
fans.
They're
still not going anywhere. Yeah.
We're trying to get the casual people
it's
to
just,
come watch
it's
this.
It's just entertainment 101.
Yeah, that's exactly. What, yeah, you and with any business, if you have a diehard fan base, you know that they're never going to go anywhere. You're just trying to keep and bring in more casual people. I mean, and I think it's a good – I don't hate it because it's bringing more people – it brings more people into poker, which makes me more money.
Of course.
You know what I mean? So
– yeah. There's it just comes down to – it's just TV. So they got to make it best for TV. They probably got higher ratings by showing the cards all along the way because people were like, well, this is stupid. I can't even see what they have. Why can't I see their hold cards? You know, and they right. probably got better ratings when they started showing the hold cards. So me and you enjoyed it when they weren't.
There's a great documentary on Netflix called All In, the poker movie.
Yeah.
And it actually talks about that topic of things, of showing the hold cards and everything like
oh,
that.
Really?
It is like a good 15 minutes of talking about why they decided to do it that way. And it's a great documentary all around. It just talks about poker from, you know, throughout time.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. There's such a difference in... because we've been doing a lot of online poker lately,
mm-hmm.
Now that we can, kind of. So there's a lot of differences in I'm having a hard time adjusting to online poker, although I'm not a great poker player in general. I would categorize myself as above average.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I understand what's going on to an extent. And it's taken me a while to adjust. I mean, the online poker is... it's a lot faster, which I like. Nothing more I hate than slow poker.
Right.
So you're going to see a lot more hands like you had told me because, you know, my first few days playing it, I'm texting you over. I'm like, you wouldn't believe the horse shit that I saw today. And you're like, well, take it with a grain of salt because you're seeing probably 10 times as many hands as you're seeing in a regular poker game because it just goes so fast.
Right.
And I still think there are robots. I think that people are cheating. I think it's
I think people definitely cheat. And it's always going to be the problem with online poker is
collusion.
I don't know about the robots. I mean, I've done fairly well in two tournaments lately. I've cashed for, you know, over $5,000.
Yeah, I just feel like in the sit and goes and probably at cash tables, there's more bang for their buck where if they're going to put a bunch of robots into a big tournament and have that, then I don't see, I mean, that's tougher to have a robot go all the way to the
right.
final table without people picking up, be like, okay, this is clearly a robot.
Right.
But when it comes to a 6-person sit and go
yeah.
and just having one there just to take money off the table,
yep.
just to outlast a couple people, I think that is not only a possibility, I think it's a probability because seeing some of the ways that some of these, what I think are robots play, they act fast, they jam half pot bets, and then they bet full pot bets. You know, I don't know if it's a guarantee that these robots are there to win,
mm-hmm.
but I think they're there with, like, odds. Like, their odds
right,
are
right, they play
better.
A certain...
They play the percentages.
They
yeah.
play...
I think it's an automatic thing, because there's no way that they could sit there...
Which I could also see.
...and create an algorithm to where they're going to be able to feel out every situation of every hand, and it's like, okay,
yeah.
robot's going to win this hand. No matter what people bet, it's just going to call.
Yeah.
And it's going to take money off the table. You know, people are like, oh, well, what's it doing in a $6 sit and go or a $10 sit and go? It's like, all right, well, if it's in 1,000 of those right now, you know, that's
yeah.
that's a good amount of money that they're taking off the tables. And, you know, there's just no way that it's a thing because like, there'll be everybody chatting in a chat room, and if you are sitting, there's no device that you're playing on that doesn't have a keyboard. Maybe somebody doesn't speak English. Maybe you run into somebody that just doesn't want to talk to people. Maybe that happens every once in a while. But when it's somebody that's just smashing everyone in the tournament and they're just collecting chips, and everyone's like, okay, how did this dude just call me down with 3-9 and beat me? And do that to 5 other people. Because, like, eventually the idiot at the table that's doing that, like somebody that just has to leave and they keep jamming all in, they eventually just lose.
Yeah.
It's not very common that they're going to keep winning with absolute shit hands.
Yeah.
But this happens. It happens, and whenever it happens, the one thing that is consistent every single time, that person never talks. Usually when you run into a reckless player, especially in online poker, they're talking shit. They're shit-faced.
Yeah.
They're loud about, like, I don't care, I got your chips, motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
I had that last night
yeah.
in that big tournament. There was this player. I was watching him play, and I just, like I told you earlier, I sat in this tournament for an hour and a half, and I played 3 hands.
Yeah.
And I was watching this guy just jam every hand. just about every hand, queen three, king four, yep. and just knock out player after player after player That's after crazy. Player. I mean, and eventually,
but he was probably talking tons of
shit.
So you know he's not a robot. Yeah. He's just an idiot.
And of course, by you know another hour goes by, I'm watching him because our table breaks. I remember his number, and I'm just watching his number and just watching his stack go down.
Yep, down,
down. So where he could have easily made the final table and just blew his entire stack.
It's crazy.
Yeah, so, I mean, I get your point.
Like in a tournament like that, it's tough. I mean, this is much easier said than done, but there's a sit-out button.
Yeah.
Hit the sit-out button, go smoke a cigarette, go sit outside on your porch, turn the computer screen around, you're going to final table. Yeah. Just walk away. But it's tough because then you're like, well, what about if I get aces?
Yeah.
You know, what if I get kings?
I can't not play when I'm in a tournament.
It's tough.
It would be very,
but
very...
But you have the rarity.
But I can reduce my card range.
Yeah, you definitely have the ability, and especially in live poker, because I think it's easier on a computer to find something else. You sit on your phone and just keep clicking fold.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know, like I can do that too. But it's got to be... You have the we've talked about this before. You have the ability to just shut down and just wait. And,
yeah.
And a lot of people don't, especially in live poker.
Yeah.
People in live poker, they get antsy. They want to shuffle the chips around. They think they're reading a situation right that they're not. And 9 times out of 10, that's how they blow through a big stack. When you get a big stack, you have an ability to shut down. And I think that is a skill that not a lot of people have.
Well, yeah, because the automatic thought in people's head when they have a big stack in poker is to apply pressure, which theoretically it is. But it also depends on your table.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because if you know that you're going to get really, really loose calls, you can't be, you know, you should be bullying the table in certain aspects with a big stack, but not.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
But there's, it's so situational.
It definitely is situational. I mean,
your table draws so important.
You know, if you're, you know, raising from the dealer button, you know, more than you know that person wants to put in with their probably shitty hand, you know, there's definitely ways to play. But I mean, that doesn't change much from the way that you would normally play even without a big stack. But I never have a big stack because I'm fucking awful at poker, so I don't know about that life.
I got lucky in that tournament to get into that tournament last night. I didn't even tell you the story.
You satellited in, didn't you?
So here's what I did. I saw that there was a $27 satellite to get into a $150 tournament. And I think I had like $29 left in my account or something. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to try to satellite into this tournament. What I didn't realize that it was a $27 satellite, but it's six people and it was all in. Everyone was all in the first hand.
I hate those.
And I didn't even notice it. And
you won it?
And I had pocket nines and somebody had king, queen, and he flopped the king and I rivered a nine.
Ugh.
Thankfully.
I can't believe people play those.
I didn't even know, but I didn't know. Like, I just saw $27 satellite to $150 tournament.
Yeah.
So that's why I clicked on it real quick, and then I went and I was doing other stuff.
It's basically like, all right, one of you's getting in.
Yeah, and yeah. I click on it to play it, and it just turns all our cards over, and I was like, fuck.
Like, what is this?
Like, this doesn't give me an advantage at all. But
no, but yeah, it worked out.
But it worked out. I won it, and then I was going to play it on Sunday, but I went and played a live tournament instead. And, so I played on your birthday because I didn't want to hang out with you.
That's fine. You weren't invited. That definitely worked out for you.
It all worked out well.
The biggest poker days I've ever seen. That's huge.
So. Yeah, so 27 and so over 5,000 is my biggest return on investment for sure.
Yeah. I just, when it comes to online poker, I don't know how it happens, but I'll go on epic winning streaks and then epic losing streaks. You think it would be balanced because my poker game, when it comes to different tournaments that I play, changes very little. And it's, in my opinion, a winning formula because the times that I do lose is usually on horse shit or it's on a coin flip that I just didn't win. You know, so it's either I'm getting rivered.
Right.
When I get my chips all in, I'm usually ahead.
Right. But also, think of what you're saying right now. It goes back to our TV argument where you're just talking about the hands where you're getting all in and all that stuff. You're not talking about what's going on in those other hands.
Right.
And this is why, like, honestly, I wish you would at some point come and sit down and I can, like, I tutor people in this. So at some point, I'd like to sit down with you and actually clear all the vices out and just go over the stuff with you.
I mean, over the years, we've definitely cleared out a lot of them to where there's little to no temptation to play crappy hands anymore. Like, I, you know, back in the day, oh, my lucky hand is King 8. I'm going to play King 8 because I just like the feel of it. It's like, that shit is so far gone.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about position and situational poker and, you know, it's about playing good poker and playing all, you know, but not being that 90-year-old guy at the table that's just waiting for pocket kings, you know?
Right. Like, there's so many, like when I'm teaching somebody right now, like Jackie, who's been on the show, she's never played poker, and I'm teaching her, and I'm like, all right, well, bet here. And she's like, well, why do I bet here? I'm like, well, here's why, and I have to explain it to her, like,
yeah.
Because she's never played, but like she's like, but you don't have anything. It's like, that's not the point.
Yeah.
He doesn't have anything.
He doesn't have anything, or you need to see if he does have something.
Right, but
otherwise you guys are going to check down, and then it's a coin flip.
And where you're at, I think the thing you need to work on the most is putting a player on a range of hands, because every player is different, and just watching the way they play, you can put a player on, okay, what situationally would he have right here, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's where I think I kind of excel at, is my...
That's one of my weaknesses, to where it's like, if I am like heavy into a hand, mm-hmm. raise pre-flop, raise on the flop, raise on the turn, then the river comes, a lot of times I'll look at that river and be like, ah, he's got the flush, but I have top two, mm-hmm. and I think that's a good hand to get my chips all in with.
Yeah.
And be like, let's see if he's got it. Boom, he turns over the flush. I'm like, ah, I knew he had that. Huh, oh, well, on to the next tournament.
Right, because, you know, he
like,
just like, flats you the whole way, and then...
Yeah, or whatever the situation region, might be. Yeah. It's not even 9 times out of 10, like 19 times out of 20, I've got him pegged. I've got the guy that's going to beat me pegged as, okay, yeah, he's definitely got an ace here. And I've only got a king, but I got these many outs. I got this and that and this and that. And then the river comes. I'm like, well, I hope he didn't hit that. And then boom, of course he did. You know, so my problem is, I don't know. Cause I mean, it's all situational. So it's like,
well, that comes down to kind of like my biggest, one of my people that I work with right now is one of the biggest lessons I've been teaching him is when you get to that point, you have to look at it and say, what can I beat? And you have to put together...
What can I beat is a good question.
What that you have to put together his hand range, and what can I beat out of his hand range? Like, yeah, you have pocket aces, but what can I beat on this particular board?
Yeah, there's that. All right, let's create a situation.
That's just the river, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the river pops, and you have 3,000 invested in the hand. You only have 1,000 left. You know that motherfucker hit the flush. And you only have 1,000 chips behind you. Is it worth it to call it off and see if he's bluffing? You know, depending on what you have. Say you have top two or whatever.
I mean, and he's jamming, and the option is up to either call his jam or fold.
Yeah.
I mean...
But it depends on where you are in the tournament. Like I said, it's all situational.
It's super situational, yeah. And player specific, but... Yeah. I mean, if your read is that he has the flush, then you fold and because you have to live to fight another hand.
Yeah.
Because why get your money in dead?
Kind of.
You know
dead.
What I mean?
Kind of dead, but then there's always the...
There's the odds
is
that
he betting to bluff me off of this? And that's where you got to read the player, I guess.
But a lot of players aren't bluffing rivers either.
Right.
So much. I mean, depending on, especially late in tournaments and stuff. I made a mistake last night. It cost me probably $2,000 for that situation. It was also 3:45 in the morning, and I was starting to get deliriously tired. Yes. So, I mean, that could have been an advantage for people if they were on the West Coast. Yeah, it's 3:45 in the morning here, but it's 12:45.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, it's there's so many situations, but there's a basic formula and principle that you can go over. And
yeah, it comes down to having the right strategy in playing good poker. I mean, and bad poker.
Breaking
I got
down.
Into it,
a
I
hand.
Got into it with a guy the other day, online. I'm assuming it was a guy. I raised. This is like one of the first few hands of a sit and go. Started with 1,500 chips. All right. I have ace king suited. Solid hand. I have position. I'm from the dealer button. There was like a couple calls, maybe one raise. The blinds were 10-20. Some guy made it like 60. Maybe like two callers, whatever.
60 and two callers already?
Maybe, something like that. Anyways, I made it like 400 or something like that. Like I made a good enough raise to where it's like, okay, people, I have something. Mm-hmm. This guy re-raises me up to like 750. So I'm like, all right, whatever, jam. Mm-hmm. I jam, he calls. He flipped, the cards show he had 3-4 of diamonds. Like 3-4 of diamonds. I had ace king. Flop comes out, 3-4. Wait, I might have had pocket kings. I don't know. Anyways, the flop comes out, 3-4, dead card. Then the turn comes, something dead. Then the river comes, boom, I smash my king. So I beat him. Mm-hmm. And when that flop came, I flipped out. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you really repot me? Like, I made a strong bet mm-hmm. in position with multiple people in the hand. I made a substantial raise pre-flop. Mm-hmm. And then you repot me to see if I was stealing the blinds. And then I jammed. Mm-hmm. And then you called. Like, what are you doing with 3-4 there calling? And I just typed out. I go. That's what you get for calling my pre-flop raise with crap. He goes, you fell right into my trap. I had suited connectors, perfect cards to bust a big hand. Sure, but yeah. You're gonna get all of your chips in with 3-4. Like right. Maybe like 9-10, 8-9, 7-8. But 3-4, you're never winning that hand. Well, and he goes. Well, you fell right into my trap, chump. I'm like, I have all your trips. I have all your chips, chump. Like, yeah. Like you fell into my trap. Well, I ended up the better hand won, the better poker play won in that situation. And
right.
Assess.
So the problem, the point. So in that situation, here's the common flaw that people think.
Yeah.
From his side is he raised the 750, we'll say, and he had 1,500 chips, and you jam. People think in that spot, half my chips are already in the pot. I have to call now.
This absolutely alludes to what we were talking about earlier.
And that's a common misconception in poker where, yeah, you know what? You're losing half your stack here, but you're clearly behind.
Yeah,
but the other thought is if you do have jacks or tens, like I got all my money in the other day. I was short stacked with 9-10 of diamonds, mm-hmm. and somebody re-jammed over the top of me. And I just looked at him. I go, I hope you have aces because I didn't want him to have like jacks.
Yeah.
You know, because that takes outs away.
Right.
He's like, and he had jacks. I was like, fuck. Okay, so you got to know what your hands. I was watching a good thing on Daniel Negreanu did the other day. Well, he didn't do it the other day, but I watched it the other day. It's the rock, paper, scissors of poker. Pocket twos, 10 jack suited, and ace king.
Yeah.
Pocket twos are a favor over ace king. 10 jack suited is a favor over twos, and then ace king is a favorite over 10 jack. So one is always a favorite over the other. You know okay. what I mean? So that kind of goes to his point. Like, yeah, I had the perfect hand to crack a big hand, but you don't need to be getting your money in that early right there.
Right.
Like, you could play, like, he's playing it for too much money is the problem.
He
could have flatted you, like, your 400.
Yeah.
And then gone from there. If that's really, but he's out of position as well. So
what's funny? All right,
he made a bad play.
Here's the funny
there's
thing.
There's no defending his play.
Yeah,
but the hand.
I can't remember what I had. I definitely had a pocket pair. It was probably pocket kings, pocket queens. It definitely wasn't pocket aces. I would remember that. All I know is I did have the better hand pre-flop. I had business going all in.
Right.
3-4 calling an all in. I see is a problem.
Is a problem.
Like
yeah.
you made a bad poker play, and he got damn lucky on that flop. Like, what are the chances a 3 and a 4 is going to come out right on the flop? And then thank God I smashed that river because it felt great. And it was like the better hand won, but it was scary for a second. That's the only reason I decided to engage.
But
you're gonna
the good thing is you're gonna win those more than you lose them.
Yeah.
And this is another like this the guy that I teach a lot. He's like, I just feel like I lose these all the time. I'm like, but you're not in enough hands to. You play way too tight, and you're not seeing enough.
Yeah, you're getting one coin flip, and you're losing that coin flip.
Right.
As opposed to if you were playing more hands, you would see more hands that go the other way for you.
Right. So it all depends on your – it's so situational and so person-dependent. Like, I saw somebody complaining at a cash game, like, well, this one guy, he gets so lucky with these hands that – and I can't believe it. I never do. And someone else just looked at him and go, yeah, but you don't play that hand.
Yeah, of course.
So you're never going to get lucky with that hand because you never play that.
And how many times are you sitting there stirring in your seat because you folded 3-6 and you ended up flopping a straight that you folded?
Yeah.
What the fuck is this, playing 3-6 anyways?
And how often are you going to flop that straight is the problem.
Yeah, never.
You know what I mean?
Or almost never. So it's like you And I have a hard time with this too. I look at my hand, I'm like, oh my God, I would have smashed the full house here. And it's like, okay, yeah, you would have done that if you were a bad poker player.
Right.
If you were just looking to suck out on somebody, or if you were bluffing, whatever. If you made a move and you hit that, damn, you just hit that was a stroke of luck for you.
But there's situations to play those hands too. So like at my World Series of Poker League that I play in.
Yep.
I was on the big blind for 1,000, okay?
Yep.
Super tight player, two to the left, raises to 3,000. Initial thought, I'm folding this hand, right? Because
yeah,
he's a super tight player.
Yeah.
I know he has a big hand. Now two other people call.
Now it's worth it for you.
Now I have 4-7 of spades.
Yeah, and you have a hand that will crack the big one. So if the flop is shitty,
I
you know,
can get out of it.
Missed with his ace queen or whatever it is. You could get out of it if you miss something, or you could just demolish
right.
these people if you smash
right. So it. It becomes equity. So now it's I know I'm folding this flop most of the time, but if the 4-7 of spades works out somehow, then I'm making a lot more. I'm never losing a lot in the hand. But I'm making a ton if I make money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what ended up happening is I have 4-7 of spades, 3 spades flop.
Boom.
I check to him. He jams, folds to me. I call. He has king of clubs, king of hearts. And
he didn't have any of the spades. Wow.
He had no spades. It's no spade redraw, and I just took him out.
Yeah.
So I know I'm making a big in that particular spot. But if it folded around to me, there's no point in me getting tangled in this hand because there's no money.
But I mean, it became worth it for you to put in your extra 2,000 chips to win 9,000 or whatever.
And I mean, that all depends on your chip size, but there's points to play those hands.
There are, yeah.
You know,
but a lot of times those points are not.
Like the story you just gave is clearly just someone playing really bad.
Poorly. And it wasn't, you know, and it's like, dude, you know what? You end up running into those people. Sometimes they beat you, sometimes they don't. Usually, like you said, you're going to win those hands against those types of people. But when he sits there and talks trash to me, like he made he was trapping me with his 3-4 of diamonds. It's like, dude, you weren't trapping anyone and you lost because you had a worse hand. So you shouldn't have been in the hand, you douche. Anyways,
Jesse gets so fired up.
We'll talk poker today. Well, congratulations, Rob, on your big win last night. What do you get planned for tournaments?
I rejoined the World Series of Poker League this year.
Yeah.
So
I know because I made you a flyer.
Yes.
Reigning champion. We'll tweet it out from Stan.
Yeah, I rejoined and I won the first week.
Of course.
So
it's a good start.
It's a good start to it.
Definitely.
So basically, if I win that, I go play in the main event. But I've decided that I am going to do everything in my power to play the main event, next year, no matter what. I have to do it.
If you win this league, are you in the main event in July?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. All right, cool. I wasn't sure if it would be for the following year.
Nope. It's for July because the league wraps up in May.
I will file for a divorce and see you in Vegas. I'm just kidding. Anyways, all right. Cool. Well, subscribe to us on iTunes. Search for Stack and Smash Radio. Follow us on Twitter. All that fun stuff. And we'll see you guys next week.
Let it.
Stack and Smash Radio.